Taylor, head custodian, full-time position at Canyon View. Alicia Witzel, head swim coach at Emory High School, and Carl Jensen, assistant volleyball coach at Emory High School. I would recommend the board approve those.
I have one question.
Okay.
So Carl teaches at
Canyon View.
Canyon View. Is he going to be able to be over? Is that going to be able to work?
Yes, it will work. We've had middle school, junior high coaches at the high school before. Because he's at Canyon View, he'll be late for practices. He's
okay,
not going to leave early.
School.
No.
Okay,
he'll miss some school for travel when they have matches outside the area.
We approve them.
My last question, just really quick, is I assume that's been discussed with Yvonne.
Who is second?
Or can I take your pick? We both think.
Okay. One or the other? Any? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item, we will table. Told you I'd be optimistic.
You made a motion?
Yes, we probably.
Well, I move that we table.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
My Robert's rules are coming. My Jurassic rules, right, Mary? Okay. Looks like we have an out-of-state travel request for Green River, and Larry, you...
Yes, I can speak to that. I've talked to Principal Flucky about this. Next year, they're going into a new region, and that region minimizes their opportunity for competition in several sports, simply because they will have more smaller schools that offer fewer sports. So they're requesting kind of an open-ended opportunity to go to tournaments in Fruita, Colorado, and Grand Junction, Colorado. We've done this in the past. Those two communities are actually closer than a lot that Green River traveled to.
Right.
So,
plus it's on a freeway.
Yeah, it's a straight shot. So the schedules have not been set, but I told Casey that I would present this. I support it. I think it's economically feasible and advisable. They would, of course, have the proper chaperones. These are not overnight trips either. I think they come back.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah,
overnight.
It's okay. It's there and back. So.
Just standard games and activities that would
yep.
be.
I move that we approve that request.
Second.
Aye. Looks like we had a land trust amendment from Huntington Elementary that Jared forwarded.
And Mr. Johnson is here to speak to that.
Yeah, thank you.
I assume that's why you're here.
What is it? Kids can make circuits out of it's a clay material. And one has positive properties and one has the negative properties. And so it's, well, in the hands of first graders, you never know. But that's what it's designed for, is younger students. We already have at our school snap circuits and little bits, which the older students use really well. But the younger students, this is something that they can mold into whatever shape they like and have lights with it and buzzers and switches.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to volunteer in that class next year.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I know. Can we go play with Squishy 3?
You can. I give you permission. Not that you need my permission.
What happens if they eat it?
Their eyes may glow. I'm not sure.
If
they eat it,
they'll blow up.
Yeah. As long as it's not a battery
negative.
Connected to it, they're okay.
As long as the connections don't eat it, fine.
Okay.
Hey. I move that we approve that as it was presented to us.
I second that.
Can you
all in
favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Let the squishy
begin. All right, Mr. Johnson, have fun with your squishy ticket.
Thank you, we will. There's some really fun stuff, and it's all STEM related, which is important.
Which is great. Also in Jared's report was an approval of the auditing services for our next 5 years.
Yes.
He
mention that Jesse and Marie.
Jesse is our committee chair. She's going to make some.
Hey, she had information about that for us. Okay. So we had three firms put in applications. Squire is one of them. I can't remember. Gilbert and then
Stewart.
I know what you're talking about. So.
Kimball and Robert. Yeah.
Oh, not
Kimball and Robert was our current.
Yeah.
That was like, I couldn't remember.
What were the bids?
Those were the three.
He told us. I didn't write it down.
If I connect, that's why I'm not.
What I was thinking was, oh, Jesse, you'll have that on.
Capital Cougars 2015.
Yeah. I am sorry.
But we did the same thing. We went through and awarded.
Yes, so based on the criteria listed in the RFP, we went through and scored each application.
Cougars 2017?
2015.
Oh. Okay. Years of the Wi-Fi was put in the school.
Right.
That seems to happen.
Right.
That's usually wrong. Okay. All right, now I can pull it up. So out of the three, Gilbert and Stewart had the most experienced staff, and their bid came in at the lowest. So I would like to make a motion that we approve Gilbert and Stewart as our auditors for the next 5 years.
Where are they from? Spanish Fork?
Where were they from?
I'm trying to blank.
Did they have an office? Oh, they had someone, like, yeah, it was Spanish Fork area, Provo. Utah County area. Mm-hmm. But yeah, based on the scoring system, it was kind of a landslide pick from them. Yeah.
I had them in my brackets.
Yeah. Did we even talk about brackets? Yeah. No. So those got crushed.
It was kind of nice because it was definite.
It was an easy pick.
So
just their presentation
was. Who made the move then?
I did.
I
made the motion. Okay. So just made a motion.
Roy.
Denise. Robin. Okay.
Roy.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry, that was professional. All good, right?
That was Jurassic.
Okay. Jurassic is improved. It's just being good. Yeah. And I think they have we've had them as auditors in the past.
A long time ago.
A while ago. When
Randy?
When Randy was there. But
their presentation was impressive. All right. Sounds good. Well, two auditors then. Except we're on to reports. We've gotten to you. So, welcome. It always feels a little backwards to welcome you here after you're already here, but welcome. We appreciate having you here. One sovereign note to begin with, and many of you may have already heard that Betsy Johnson's son Joshua passed away today. So we give our condolences to her and our thoughts and prayers to her family at this time. We don't have any firm information other than that, but
he'll probably be a great site service either Saturday or next Thursday, depending on their son Jacob's travel from Washington, D.C.
And you'll probably see her before many of us do, so please give us our thoughts as well. On a happier note, our students have continued earning warm fuzzies. And as you walk in our school, we have a huge bucket of warm fuzzies. It continues to grow. Kindergartners really like bringing them down when they earn them. they can earn them for positive things, both social and academic. I like it because often when they bring them down, they also come down with a positive office referral, and I get to visit with them and learn about all of the good things they're doing, both academically and socially. And I get to give them a high five and a fist bump and a little reward, and then we get to send those home to their parents. And we feel it's really important to make sure that there's a positive interaction between the school and the community, that means that they're getting positive things from the school too. So, our theme for this year, as you may have noticed as we came in, I have Merit F on the board. Our theme this year was Brave, and each letter stands for some characteristics that we feel are important for our students to have. So those, we had three characteristics for each letter. So we want them to be bold and big-hearted and to believe themselves. We want them to be resilient, respectful, and responsible. We want them to be accepting, appreciative, and active, visionary, valiant, and versatile, empathetic, encouraging, and enthusiastic. And how we've done that this year is we've focused on a word a week. We define what it is, give examples of people who show that, and ask them to practice that. And then each teacher has the opportunity to choose a student. They feel exemplifies that. It allows students to get chosen multiple times, and I think we're on our third, maybe fourth time through that set. And those students that are chosen become our Cougar Crew, and they get sent into the paper, and we put them up on our wall. And we just kind of feel it's a good way to remind our students of those things that they need to do to be good citizens of our school and our community. We've continued our Marvin and Jesse character program this year. It's been fun and a successful addition. I think that Wayne Roberts has lost his name, at least for our students, because he has graciously been our Marvin for the last 2 years, and so anytime the kids see him, it's always, "Hi, Marvin." very kindly waved back. I'm usually Jesse, but they do remember I'm Mr. M most times. But this year, as part of that, we learned about hard work, self-discipline, empathy, self-control, friendship, conflict resolution, and we have two more schedules, and that will be courtesy and honesty to finish this year out. We feel that learning these skills is going to help students, not just in school, but in their life. We've been really excited with the results of our full-day kindergarten this year. We've seen a lot of growth with our students, and they've made leaps and bounds. I think it's been a really positive change for our students to have that opportunity. Our teachers continue to incorporate STEM, our science, technology, engineering, and math activities in their classrooms. We had hosted an upper grade robotics team this year that incorporated students from both here and from the middle school, and they made their way to state, which was exciting, where they came in 12th, and then they also earned a top design award for the design for their invention, which I believe was a water-saving shower for a space station. It was kind of interesting to, I sat in on their presentations of what their reasoning behind it and how they thought it would work, and they have to do a lot of research, and they've got some really good ideas, so I'm excited to see what they do when they grow up. Currently, we're hosting our junior robotics camp, which is like K-3, and they come twice a week for an hour, and are working with the Junior Lego League experience with that, and we've had teachers that are they've been hosting that. And, we also have utilized resources from the Southeastern Education Service Center. A lot of our teachers will get science boxes that have kits and things that we may not have on hand here, but they're able to check them out. And we've had insects and rocks and all sorts of fun things. And then we also, along with the STEM, we have Nathan Wilson will bring over items like Abiazobots and Makey Makeys, different coding activities. So these are things that we may not be able to afford on our own, but we have access to through the service center, and we appreciate having that as a resource. We have also been grateful to have the opportunity to work not only in our school, but with other schools and teachers in the district with for our professional learning communities. And we appreciate the opportunities we have to meet together to discuss data, discuss good teaching practices, and all of those things. And we want to continue being involved in those so that we can give our students the best chance that they have to be successful both in school and in life. We've also had several successful competitions with our checkers and chess and speed stacking, and it's fun to have these activities that some students who may not be involved in other things outside of the school or who may not be involved in sports or other things, they have a place that they can shine, and it's kind of fun to watch them do that. We also had one of our fourth grade students, Porter Stilson, who won our school geography B, and he took the really long and hard test that allows them to decide if they're going to qualify for the state geography B, and he made it to the state geography B, so he participated in that on last Friday and was excited to be there. It was pretty cool. We had, I think, three or four from our district, which I think is probably one of the highest numbers we've had ever. So it was.
I don't remember ever having as many qualify for state as we did this year.
No. We've got some smart kids, so we were excited to hear that. We also had a successful fundraiser, and we appreciate the support that our community gave us in that. And, you know, it's always good to have tasty pizza around in your freezer when you need to put it in there. We're also preparing for our end-of-year testing, which will begin in the next couple of weeks for us. And our students are also currently have the opportunity to have the work displayed in a couple of art venues. Our PTO has a theme of country roots and cowboy boots, so the students can come up with art in several different forms and have that be part of that. The Centerville Art Guild, which is headed by Kayla Nguyen, also asked our students if they want to be participating in a and kind of a county-wide, district-wide elementary display with the theme of Under the Sea, and they're kind of doing that in conjunction with the community theaters play, The Little Mermaid, and so the idea is they'll have their work displayed in the foyer of the high school as the community play does that next week. So I'm excited to see some of the artistic renderings that will come up. Another opportunity that we've had is Lainey Olson from Perrin has been coming to teach our students about music, and she takes class at a time, and they learn about beat, they learn about rhythm, all sorts of things, and it's been a great resource for our students to have that kind of instruction and knowledge when sometimes the arts can get left behind. So we appreciate Lainey being willing to come and donate her time for that. Last week, our fifth graders successfully navigated to the middle school to get their orientation, so they're pretty excited when they came back. I think they might survive when they get over there. They're pretty excited about that. This coming week, before spring break, our students have the opportunity to work with a storyteller from the Timpanogos Storytelling Festival. They'll bring a storyteller down. We'll do a workshop or an assembly with the lower grades and the upper grades in the morning, and then in the afternoon she'll do a longer workshop with the fourth and fifth grades working on how do you create a story, how do you tell a story, and we're pretty excited about that. It's nice for our students to have access to some of these resources that are upstate that a lot of kids get there, and we appreciate the ability to have them come down. We also have the Utah Opera coming on Thursday to do Who Wants to Be an Opera Star. So that's always good. That's funded through the POPs, through the state legislature. And so we appreciate having that opportunity as well. May is really busy as always. We have field trips and programs and the school-wide talent show. And, you know, our third annual staff versus fifth grade tennis softball game is coming up, so if anybody would like to come and participate in that on the last day of school, we'll let you come and have some fun.
Pull some muscles.
One or two. getting a little summer, assuming it doesn't rain, and who knows with the weather. But we appreciate all the hard work and effort that our staff, volunteers, parents, and students and teachers give to us. So, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Are you still doing no homework?
Yes.
And you feel good about it?
Yes, because most of our students are able to complete their assignments within the school.
There, just my kids being in the school, there is some homework packets sent home that is not required, but...
They're not graded, but they can be used for supplementing and assessment.
So my daughter's in second grade, and they're learning math, or currency, and as a reward for doing that extra work, they earn their money, and then they have a market day where they get to use the money, and so it's, I love it, because it, yeah.
Thank you for the feedback.
I've loved it, and it, you know, it just helps reinforce what they're learning in school, but it's not required, they're not graded on it, so.
That market, if I may, is a direct result of the PLC cooperation. The teachers have been sharing ideas back and forth.
And
the market day
was
one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of the schools have been doing market day. But that is a direct result of the PLC coordination.
Yeah.
Yeah, come and visit a market day every once in a while. They're fun. It's fun to watch.
A little
stressful for
the parents sometimes.
Oh,
what are we going to do? But it's
the kids love
those
it.
Kids think it is.
Mom and dad get a little stressed.
They do. They love it. And it helps reinforce what they're learning in school with, hey, I give you a dollar, but you're only selling a product for 50 cents. What?
Why do I get
what
back?
What do I do? So it's... Yeah. Yeah.
There
you go.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like our next item is the superintendent's report.
Thank you. You would refer to the school board bulletin. Going down to news and recognition, I would like to recognize the passing of June Shurtleff. She was a longtime bus driver in our school district. Passed away recently at age 71. She was retired, but she made a lot of runs over the years. Also, I received a CC from the Utah High School Activity Association, a letter written by Rob Cuff, the director, to Coach Lynn Tuttle. I'd like to read part of that into the minutes. Dear Coach Tuttle, we recently wrapped up another wonderful sports season at the Utah High School Activity Association. Congratulations on your school's outstanding achievement, 2019 3A State Girls Basketball Champions. I admire your determination, hard work, and dedication in directing your team to this outstanding accomplishment. Thank you for modeling sportsmanship and citizenship through positive learning laboratories where practical life lessons are taught. Thank you for creating education-based activities for your student athletes through promoting the development of character and ensuring the teaching of positive values, philosophies, and principles of educational value that will last a lifetime. Congratulations to everyone at Emory High School for reaching the top of your classification and earning the exclusive honor of being called the 2019 3A State Girls Basketball Champions. Sincerely, Robert C. Cuff, Utah High School Activity Association Executive Director. Also, I would like to read a brief email from Jennifer Thomas, who is our district social worker. She works under the Student Services Program, Ryan's program. Good morning. Just wanted to share with you the success of our Communities That Care Food Bag program. This is a community effort of people that are providing food bags to send home with kids each Friday. When we started this, in Carbon County was providing the food bags. Since then, community members in Emory County have taken over. We have a great community. We are currently feeding 28 kids in the district each week. Just wanted to pass this news along. Ashley and I coordinate which kids get the food bags. Great news to share with the school board. And it certainly is. That's a great program. And Ashley is Ashley Jensen, who is our elementary counselor. Mm-hmm. So a couple of very nice letters there. Moving on to enclosures, reports, follow-up, community reinvestment. We probably ought to think about when we can bring Stuart back. I think it's information that the board needs to know. We have had those discussions in the past relevant to development of solar energy farms around and how that impacts our taxes. And there are some others being planned. I have an appointment next week with one firm that's looking at adding some solar panels, and they're going to want information about our interest in supporting the CRA program. So I would ask the board to consider that at some point. Regarding the PLC update, Tracy mentioned earlier that we talked about PLCs with the association and the board in our regular monthly meeting. And there have been some changes. We've been negotiating now for some time to add additional time to the PLC program. Currently, we have a midterm early out day where teachers have a half day to work with collaborative teams. And we also have end of term full day PLC day. These have worked well. One of the outcomes from many of these collaborative teams has been to request more time so that they can do more. And so that it was initially the challenge to see how we could build in more time. And we had forwarded a few proposals to deal with that, and we had some concerns about it and some questions, so it was kind of back and forth to the point where right now going into next year, the plan will be to, at the secondary schools, try and schedule common preps for the disciplines, for the language arts department, math departments. The two middle schools will work together, and where necessary, we can provide a substitute teacher. For the elementary schools, we're not requiring any additional after-school time, as we had discussed. We will be letting the principals and the team leaders working with the collaborative teams to determine when they need to meet and how those meetings will be facilitated, whether they're on-site with all members of the team or whether we do that through WebEx or some other means of broadcasting. So the status of PLCs right now is we're still moving forward. We will still have additional time, but it's not going to require additional school time. So any questions about that? Okay, TSSA discussion. I broke down the recently adopted legislative laws on that. It's included in your packet. I don't know how deep you want to go into that right now, but those of us who were at the USBA spring meeting found out that there is some urgency in getting the framework, and the board has to create that. We have to determine exactly what our expectations are as a board so that schools can start modeling their plans around the board's expectations. It's very similar to what we do with lands trust and community councils. The schools will have to set up their plans those plans will have to be approved by the school board, and then the state will have to approve the district plans and all of our school plans. All this needs to be done by July 1st. It's quite a rush. We were told in that USBA meeting that we can expect at least $100 per student, so that's a little over $200,000 to our district. And 25% of that, at least, we don't know yet if we can go higher than that. That's still being developed by the U.S. or the state office committee. We may be able to go higher, but we can dedicate 25% of that to teacher salaries if we want to go that way. So.
And it is ongoing money.
It is ongoing money. It's built into the tax structure now. And some of the things to consider in the framework might be an emphasis on literacy, especially in the elementary levels, building reading programs, which is greatly needed not only in our district but across the state, completing CTE pathways. We have several pathways that are partial, and we haven't been able to afford instructors to complete those, so that could be built into the framework as well, and there are a myriad of other things to consider as well. And Tracy, do you want to speak to this at this point from our conversation this morning?
Yeah, just in discussing this with the superintendent. Since there is a bit of a time issue, I would propose that we have a work session probably mid-April so that May we can adopt our framework so that our principals will have at least a month to get something together. Unless we can spring it on you on June 30th and have you write it by the next day. But
that'd be good for Garth.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I shouldn't, yes. We can't let you make any decisions, can we, if you're going to?
No.
I'll look at Melinda then.
You higher than
we'd appreciate
that.
Right. So I would propose, like I said, a mid-April work session. Looking at schedules.
Mid-April is spring break.
15th to 19th is ideal,
yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
Right.
Right, it's spring break, so I didn't know if we wanted to try to meet. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
either next week or the fourth week?
If it's later in the week, I can make it work.
Like Thursday or Friday?
I can make Wednesday work, but on the 17th.
The 17th? I am out that day.
I'm out that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The 18th is the best day for me, or the week after that.
I'm out the 17th, 18th, 19th. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm getting chicks and I cannot leave.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot leave.
Well,
how about next week?
Do we want to aim for?
I can do any day next week. No, except for the 9th. We have Cassidale Elementary coming in my place.
Monday, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, on Tuesday.
I can do Wednesday or Friday next week.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week.
The
10th?
Yeah.
Is that enough time to advertise it though? Properly? I don't know.
Will the state have their framework in place?
No.
Probably not.
And I don't think they will till the end of May.
Right, so we're going to go ahead with the guidelines we have been given and then allow principals to begin with what we know at this point. And then there might be a last minute rush revision.
At least the majority of it would be in place.
Right, but at least the general idea would
that's
be
good idea.
In line.
But do we have to advertise?
We have to advertise.
Yes, we do have to advertise, and I'm not sure we have enough.
When does the paper come out, Julie?
Advertisements are due
Mondays
for
the papers to come out Wednesday. So we could do it. Hit next Wednesday for a Wednesday night.
For an emergency meeting, all you need is 48-hour notice.
Yeah.
Put put it on your board, on your door at your school district office, and also on the place that the meeting is going to be held.
It's just a work session.
Yeah, that.
I was trying to help.
I know, it sounds good.
We could meet that, though, if we...
On Wednesday or Thursday, no?
Wednesday's out. So Wednesday sounds like the best date, if we can... Are we okay with guidelines for public notice?
We'd have to get the ad in on Monday, and then come out in Wednesday's paper, is that correct? Yeah.
And then it can be...
So what would be the timing of that?
It's going to have to be in the evening for me. We've got interviews and a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Right, there's interviews that day. Should we say 7 o'clock? Is that
the district office?
The district office?
You could go 6 if that's better. I think it would be done by then.
Chance at 6 o'clock in the district office, and yeah, at that time we will come up with our proposed framework, and that way on our May meeting we can vote on it.
So you will be sending the notice, the public notice in paper?
Yeah, in the meantime, maybe have conversation with some of your principals in your schools and find out
what their priorities are, so that we can kind of have an idea of how that framework. My understanding is the framework is going to be fairly general.
Yes.
And then the principals will get to modify it to what fits their school. I think we just get to kind of decide we would like the focus of these to be on these 5-6 areas, or we want to identify where we want the focus to be,
right.
Whatever that is.
I think most principals would probably be along the lines of what Superintendent was saying.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking most of the will surround CTE STEM type pathways. One of the principals I spoke to today mentioned some possible
math remediation kinds of things,
literacy kinds of things. The other one that was brought to my attention was possibly something in the counseling area.
Yeah, that's a good thought, because there is matching funding for counseling.
Yeah.
If through this we could bundle some money and then get the matching grant, maybe add another elementary counseling.
Those were the areas that were brought to my attention. So our principals that are here, feel free to, and then we will reach out to our constituent principals as well. And, because we want the framework to work for you and your students, and you know the needs a little bit more on the ground than we do. All right.
Okay. You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a lot more, so. You got my update on the fire at Emory High School. Is there any questions about that? It was handled quickly, and we are working on tightening our emergency procedures. Carrie, maybe you could talk about what you've done and what you presented to the principals yesterday with that.
There was some question as to where the shutoffs were for the sprinkler systems and electrical in the buildings, and we had handed out a map that showed where those were, but it was brought to our attention that it was too small and hard to read. So we made a laminated large copy of that, which we gave to every school, so they have them posted, or will have them posted, where they can access them in an emergency. There was also a question with the panel at Emory High School that was mislabeled, and we corrected that this morning. And other than that, one other item is that the fire marshal suggested that in chemistry labs, in labs in our schools, that we have a container that's designed for flammable type material, and so we have purchased those.
Yeah, you learn from all these little disasters. We lost a darn good garbage can, too.
Yeah.
Our thing was melted right up.
Well, that's all we lost.
It was fun when they were doing it.
Great.
Well, when they did the experiment, they were, but not when the fire department came to put it out.
Okay, along the lines of emergency, this is not on the bulletin, but we did have a safe UT tip threatening violence here at Castledale. I did not notify the board of this. When I read it, I was certain it was at least 99.9% prank. However, Ralph, our safety officer, and I worked on this with Melinda in the sheriff's office. It was a threat of someone coming to the school and shooting it up.
On April 1st?
No. Mm-hmm. No, it was...
It was a mythical joke.
It came on March 25th, and it was categorized as planned school attack. Obviously, you take those seriously. But the other information, event information, I don't know who was involved, your mom, date and time, January 4th, 2013. Location, I don't know. Location, I mean, it's got prank written all over it. But we did call the sheriff's office, the sheriff, and the deputy came down. Ralph spent some time here at school. I stopped by. And there was absolutely no sign of that, but it was monitored over the next several days. And appreciate Ralph's work and Melinda, the way she handled it. And essentially, we kept it close to the vest, fearing if anyone was alerted, it could create mass hysteria. And, you know, it's a call you have to make. Do you want to take that risk or... based on kind of this whole frivolous thing.
Well, considering that they reported something from 6 years ago.
Yeah, that was kind of that.
A pending attack 6 years ago.
Time traveler.
Yeah, hey. You didn't like that day in 2013. You want to go back.
Okay, committee updates. Juvenile Justice Committee, Marie, and any of the rest of you that would like to come, the date is... change to April 30th. Our guest speaker will be Juvenile Court Judge Craig Bunnell, and that was the only day he could come. This is going to be a very good meeting and kind of fill a gap there in the new juvenile justice laws, exactly what can be referred to court, what he does with court referrals, and it'll be very informative and kind of really top off a lot of work that we've done throughout the school year, meeting every month to build this tiered intervention plan that we will finalize in May, and then that will be our policy going forward, published in student handbooks and widely distributed. So a lot of work has gone into that. Technology committee, we met on April 1st. No joke, we really did. And we talked about updating five-year plans, and that involves every school has a five-year technology plan, plus the district has a five-year technology plan. All of those school plans are integrated into the district plan. We also reviewed our three-year goals as part of the Digital Teaching and Learning Grant. And those goals were in Appendix C, and that just indicates what the goals were. Twofold. One was 5% increase in stage testing over the three-year period, and the other was at or near state average in ACT testing. And you can see that we did make progress in stage testing. We didn't make 5% progress. However, those lowest scores, as highlighted in red, generally are during 2017 and 18, and there was a lot of upheaval in our district that year. based on moving sixth graders to middle school, ninth graders to high school. A number of teachers moved as well, especially from elementary to middle school. We even had one elementary teacher go to the high school. And speaking of the high school, we had block scheduling initiated that year. It was the first year we rolled out PLCs with teachers. So there was a lot going on. We will continue to assess these goals. We're looking at what to use as a baseline for our next 3 years. And we are going to new testing this year, RISE testing, which will be a whole new set of numbers. And if we get it, I think everything's kind of falling into place now. But it's been quite an ordeal to get this testing in place. And when you start new testing, as the state tends to do, it skews the results the first year or so. And that might be a good year to have baseline testing. They tell us it's going to be similar. It's from the same test bank, generally speaking, as the state has. The state actually owns the test bank for SAGE testing, and they claim they can just transfer a lot of those over. But we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. So I'm okay with the moderate growth that we have under the circumstances. And this was presented to principals. They're aware of this. And we will be revising our goals on that. So any questions on that? Okay. I think that's all I have. Yeah, thank you.
This last little thing, it's not on your agenda, but I just wanted to point out that with Jared being absent, he did provide us with the business office report that had a couple of FYI items indicated, one being the online policy manual, and it's now fully online. And then also there has been a committee of some discussions on license salary schedule. So be aware of those items.
Are now starting to keep up with their peers. So it should be, we should see a real dramatic change over the years because of that.
And that's what I'm excited to see, is maybe some of the literacy issues and stuff that we're seeing now in our upper and middle school grades are being addressed sooner.
There's some really good research about how much early learning, early exposure to reading and writing makes such a difference.
I have a comment on that. Ralph deserves a great deal of credit for that. He put that whole thing together. And it wasn't easy by any means. We all felt it needed to be done. It was our highest priority coming into this year. But credit also should go to those principals and teachers who designed split classes in their schools to make it work. That's where we got the savings to fund all-day kindergarten. And Ralph and those principals and teachers, it wasn't easy, was it, Melinda? That's it. Asking a teacher to just teach a split is asking a lot. And, you know, it's hard, but we appreciate it. And it's glad to hear reports like Marie's where it's really paying off now and paying off with kids at a very early age. As we look at literacy and the challenges we've got there, kids don't read like they used to, for one thing. And I'm not saying that's why we have issues with literacy. It's a contributing factor. But we also need to keep in mind that the more they are in school reading and being taught how to read at a very early age, kindergarten, even preschool, the better chance these students will have to be at or above grade level by third grade, which is really a pivotal year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
when reading is the base of everything, if you can't read and comprehend, it's difficult to learn anything.
Absolutely.
So I can't imagine not being able to read.
Appreciate all your hard work.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, Melinda, you're still on the hook. We'll have to keep you around for a while. But yes, thank you for those comments. If there's nothing further, then we have a motion to move to closed session. I believe we've got some personnel items. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you very much. And thank you guys for sticking with us in our...
Thank you.
Just so you're aware, there are...
Thanks for contributing.
Would you rather that I not have anything about the
Thanks for asking. I think we're getting close.
I think you can have out that.
Looking good to me.
Thank you.
No, it's really looking good.
Is it looking all right?
Yeah.
Have a good night, Brett.